Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Got some studio applause. I love it.
Hello, hello.
Wake up Hollywood. Dimitri Cerny, all the way here from Victoria, Canada.
We make the trip.
Dude.
You were just there.
It was awesome.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
It was amazing. Honestly.
What a trip.
You told me Victoria's beautiful, and I was like, yeah. It really was incredible.
It was a good time.
It was amazing. Went whale watching.
We
saw 20 whales.
Yeah, we saw whales.
Saw orcas.
We explored.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It was great.
Hard to get some work done, but still.
we still managed
to get some work done.
Yeah.
How have you been, man?
Good. How about you?
Even though I just saw you. We were joking about this.
How was your weekend?
It was awesome. I just saw you 3 days ago. But it's good to have you back in L.A., man.
Yeah.
It's back in work mode.
Yeah, already.
We got a lot of people in the studio today.
We do. Full house.
Should we just, let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
Got the cast of this really cool sci-fi TV series called Extinct. And we're just going to, let's just go around the room. Everybody introduce yourselves. Go on. Starting with you. Ladies first, actually. Okay. Let's do ladies first.
My name is Jacqueline Hales.
All right.
And I play Lynn on the show.
Solid.
And I'm York G. Fryer, and I play Abram.
Nice.
Throwing in the extra letter. take it. I'm Matthew Bellows. I play Jax.
And I'm Jack Depew, and I play Silas.
There's a lot of people here. I think
right?
This is a fire hazard.
I know. I feel like I'm like a room full of refugees right now.
I'm Chad Collins. I play Ezra.
Awesome. Awesome. We're super stoked to have you guys on board.
Stoked to be here.
Matt, I think you and I booked this months in advance.
We did.
And I gave you a scare last week because you were like, hey, man, we all set? I'm like, yep, we're all set. Here's all the info. And you're like, we're supposed to be on
that.
I was on set for something else an hour and a half away. It's okay. It's perfect.
It was going to be just York G. Fryer doing
like,
the interview.
So let's talk, the creator of this show wrote Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is he from Utah as well?
I actually don't know where he's from. He lives in North Carolina, but
okay.
I don't know much about him other than he's got a huge canon of science fiction novels and a big fan base, and he's kind of prolific in that world. I would agree if anyone.
He's pretty involved with the plots and the names and everything. I liked it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So let's just talk a little bit about the story, the premise of the show, and how you guys all got involved.
Well, yeah, what's the name of your show?
Extinct.
Extinct. Right on.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is it about? Tell us a bit.
Take it away, Chad.
Yeah.
I was just at Salt Lake Comic Con, so I gave this pitch about 574 times in 2 days.
It's
so
perfect now.
Well, the 575th one is going to be gold.
It's going to be the one.
For last. I'll see if I can duplicate my track record.
And we're all out of time.
No, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Extinct is it's a show that takes us kind of 400 years into the future, a post-apocalyptic Earth. You know, aliens have come down and wiped out all of humankind. And down the road, a benevolent-seeming alien race comes down, and using their alien technology, they kind of revitalize a small, select group of human beings.
These are the Reborns?
Yeah, they're referred to as the Reborns. So it's a small pack of humans that find themselves in this kind of strange place, this in this distant future, this post-apocalyptic Earth, not knowing why we're here. We're completely reborn with our memories, our brain states intact, so we remember getting wiped out. We remember getting annihilated.
Wow.
We remember our family, our loved ones that we lost, and we don't know why we're here. And we're trying to survive against the previous alien inhabitants. We're trying to survive against the elements and the conditions of this Earth centuries beyond what we always knew it as. And then we're also trying to work with this alien race who are kind of benefactors who are very cryptic and don't really know. So it turns out that we're kind of pawns in kind of a much larger game that we don't understand.
Wow. Crazy.
Very cool. That's
and Matt, cool. I saw pictures of you filming
crazy.
This. Like,
yeah.
You were filming this for months.
Yeah, we were in over the state of Utah. We started this last summer in like August down in southern Utah. We started in Snow Canyon State Park, which is just gorgeous, insane, petrified sand dunes is where we started this whole project at. 115 wow. degrees, like when the sun's going down. Wow. And then we carried that through into the winter because we were shot through all four seasons, because in Utah you have seasons.
Yeah, we don't have that here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's that?
I don't know what that is, but I heard about it.
Yeah,
and
you've
I
read
was
about
impressed.
It.
And we went from that to in the mountains, in the snow, and blizzard conditions that you'll see all of those different things happen. And that's one of the most exciting things about the project is that you're dealing in this post-apocalyptic environment, and the environment really fought back. And so you get to experience all that with us, we hope. It makes it feel a little bit more, I don't know, rugged for the filmmaking, I think.
Epic.
And how did you all get involved with this? Did you go through an audition process? Have you performed together before? How did you guys get involved in the movie?
Well, Matt and I knew each other, 7 years ago? We did a short film in Utah.
Yeah, we did a short film.
And then we auditioned together, too.
We did. That's true.
Around the corner.
Oh, you did? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
See, we're uncovering the truth.
The cast doesn't know.
What?
Good God.
Yeah, so that was like, this project like came to existence in the casting world in like May of 2016. Is that right? And it, you know, it went out just like most things do, where there's a project and they come to Los Angeles because this is the pool where the most talented people supposedly are. I mean, at least these ones are.
Not supposedly. There's no B in supposedly.
You know what?
I'm just kidding.
But there is a G in New York G. Fryer.
That's true.
Yes, there is.
And it stands for gangster.
I like it. So, yeah, we all auditioned, but I didn't meet any of these guys until I got on set. I knew Jacqueline from a project 6 years ago, but and then we read together. Initially, I was reading for a different part, but and that's when I met Jacqueline on for this. But I don't know. I don't know how everybody else got here, actually.
Yeah, let's find out.
Yeah, I mean, I assume you guys all just like auditioned, right? I mean, I auditioned too. I just joined the show once it got picked up. Then I just put something on tape I got a call. I knew Ryan Little. He's one of our showrunners beforehand. And he gave me a call and said, sound interesting? And I said, yeah, it sounds awesome. And we did it. Yeah.
And Dimitri, did you see Ender's Game?
I did, yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Super good. Harrison Ford.
Did you guys read the book?
I didn't read the book.
No, did you play? Wasn't it based off a game as well? Or is it based off the book and a game? Or there was no game, actually? It's just
I think it's just a book.
It's just a book.
The book was first.
He's thinking in quicksand.
Maybe they made a game afterwards. There should be a game.
There should be a game.
There should be. Not just a clever name.
It's right in the title.
That's right.
It's a game, man. I think Ender's Game is like old school science fiction. Old school for us, being the age we are. Because it's like early 80s, I feel like.
Right.
And so in that way, I think that book's super ahead of its time. Some of like the actual science that it's dealing with, if you remember like the time loop they deal with in that story, where that is pretty cool. So,
I just thought it was interesting too, like it actually tackled a lot of crazy issues, and how it made the kid the pawn was kind of an interesting take for a sci-fi movie. Like usually the kid's like some supporting character, but you know, it was kind of neat to see that
whole
twist.
It was a whole exploration of child labor laws in the future.
That's really what it was.
Did you guys do like cold read? Did you go through every phase of this process? Like you did cold readings and then, there were rewrites and, you know, all that in the screenplay?
You know, we only did one table read and it was the finale.
Wow. That's nice.
If I remember correctly, am I wrong?
It's true. We had the pleasure, though, of having Aaron Johnston, is the writer of the series, who is, he works with Orson Scott Card. He's a New York Times bestselling novelist. His latest book, I think, is called The Swarm.
What else has he done?
What else has he done? So he's been him and Orson Scott Card are deeply connected in the writing, but Aaron Johnston was our writer, and we were lucky to have him on set most of the days. Yeah, so we would get the script and we'd read it, and you know we're moving pretty fast because we had eight day turnarounds for each episode.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
And BYU cast. TV,
that's crazy. Yeah. How long is each episode?
Well, the episodes are 55 minutes.
Okay, wow.
Because BYU TV is a little bit different in that similar to like Netflix or some of the other streaming platforms, there's not advertising built in. So. Like a NBC drama, 1 hour drama is like, what, 40 minutes, 45
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, with commercials, yeah, about that. Yeah.
So these don't have those commercial breaks, so you can watch it commercial free.
I love that.
October 1st, Sunday, 7 p.m. Mountain. But that means the episodes are a little longer. So, but to do that in 8 days, in 10 minutes, in like page terms, in like turning a show around in 8 days, is a lot of pages.
That's a lot. And what was the gap like between. You know, you did all the seasons. Oh, did I say a joke?
No. Matt like, said something that reminded me of a very Matt topic, which is, when did you shoot at the end of those days, Matt?
That's awesome. So you all didn't shoot together very often.
There's two sort of.
Do you guys know each
worlds.
Other? Because you guys all look confused. Like all these guys, they're like,
what is this? I don't know.
I guess it's just like, we all shot together almost like. Well, I guess every day. I mean, it was ensemble. So we're like, if we're not shooting together that day, then we're running into each other like in between trailers, in between lunches. Everyone's seeing everyone's like costumes, just like hanging out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Any long like makeup sessions like for wounds or anything?
Lots
like
of makeouts. Sorry, makeup.
It's not that kind of show.
I misheard you. no, we didn't have any reshoot. We had a couple reshoots for the pilot, I think. I don't know, Chad, didn't you do some for something else, too, somewhere along the way? Maybe I just wish that you had.
And who's the lead?
That'd be Chad Michael Collins.
He's the one sitting back. He's like, well, I guess if I must, I do have the starring role.
I really don't feel like there is a true lead in this. I mean, look.
It's a real ensemble.
You get your call sheet and everything else, and there's numbers, you know. But I think for this show, it doesn't matter. Like, I think everybody worked their butts off, you know, every single day and had a heavy workload and not many days off. Because, again, like Matt said, like 55 minutes in 8 days.
That's crazy.
It's a hard thing to turn around.
Yeah.
So everybody was on set just about every single day. It was rare that people got chunks of time off, you know, during filming.
And so from the start of filming to the end, what was the duration?
Well, we had like a small gap between shooting the pilot and getting the official go from the network. I'd say 6 months is the number we've been using. Eliminating the gaps, isn't that right? What do you think, York G. Fryer?
Is that including the gaps? That was about 6 months?
I don't know. 6 months.
Something like that, including the gap, I would say about 6 months. In the middle of it, we had holidays as well. So just the way you ended up shooting, we had to take a Thanksgiving break and a Christmas break. But they were very short, and then we would come back. And I would say, about 6 months is what.
Six, maybe 7 months. So it was a long haul.
That's crazy. Yeah.
What was the most challenging thing about shooting this TV show? Like you say, you've been struggling with the elements, and what aspect of that did you find very challenging?
Ooh, actually,
good question, Dimitri.
I'll take this. Yeah, well, okay. So one of the things that that was kind of just a fact of this show was that it was like Aaron was writing it as we were going. So like. You know, there's kind of an intense overarching structure to this thing that he had on a whiteboard somewhere with a bunch of notes, but the scripts actually didn't get like, you know, produced until, or manufactured, I guess, until like a few weeks tops. Wow. Before we started. So we were getting the next script while we were shooting that script. So you're doing a scene that will most likely have, you know, some consequences down the road.
Wow.
And then having to deal with that like before you have the next trip, before you even know what it is. That's why we were lucky to have Aaron on set a lot of the time, because we were able to take notes from him when no one else knew what was, you know, in his head.
Wow.
I think York had.
It's crazy.
I remember in particular York had a pretty brutal shooting day or run. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of this show dealt with a lot of flashbacks, you know, because we are everybody who's in this future world, they all have their brain states and their memories intact. So we did Aaron did a great job of incorporating the flashbacks in the great way that like Lost did back for ABC when such a hit show. So kind of everyone kind of got their little one-off episode where we dove back into their backstory a little
bit
more, met their family, and you know York's character is super interesting because York plays a 67-year-old man when he dies, but he's reborn in the prime of his life. And so in York's episode, I remember that's when the snow came.
Yeah.
So York,
winter's coming.
Tell us about your challenges, York, in doing your scenes getting covered.
That was a fun day because you wake up and you're like, all right, let's do this. And I walked to the window and I was like, oh. And I was like, wait, am I outside all day today? And the answer was yes. So I got to go all day outside. And it was a tough day. But, you know, it's one of those things. When it was over, it was a tough day. But I kind of appreciated the challenge. I felt like it actually added to the work that was being done. And so when it was over, I remember getting back to the hotel. We kind of all lived together, right? So we spent a lot of nights together. I remember telling these guys, I got back, I was like, I feel really good about it. And when I first stepped out, I was upset that it was snowing and it was going to snow on me all day, and it did snow on me like all day. But it was, in the end, I felt like it added to the work.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool. It was just one of those unexpected things. I was like, when people watch this, I think they will like it much more because there is snow all over the ground. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, it's like it's going through tough stuff and like the weather was tough. So I think it even adds. I think it'd be good.
And then he started requesting snow machines for all of the scenes.
I need snow. I can't act without the snow.
Where's the snow? So it gets a little redundant, but the first time it snows is really good.
Mm. And Chad, did you say that he's like 67 and then he's like he's reborn when he's like in his 30s?
In my 20s, like mid-20s.
Okay, wow. How was that transition going from an old guy to a... I mean, I feel that from like nighttime to morning time, but I mean, from like, you know, old guy to young guy. Like, how do you do that?
Man, I got to tell you, like, it's fun, but it's a challenge, right? Because essentially for me, in order... One, I'm kind of an old soul anyway. So there's a little... That's one reason I'm sure that they cast me. Because I carry a little bit of that with me anyway. But other than that, it really is... you have to really create this whole life that you've lived. 67 years of, you know, maybe you're getting married and you have grandkids. And, you know, it's like... So you have all these different events that have happened in your life that you actually have to believe. And you know, that you've lived. Otherwise, when you watch it on screen, it won't look like it's real.
Yeah, I got a question that I've just been curious. When you tell me about the stop in the time frame for shooting, like when you're in any kind of ensemble, there's a momentum, and you kind of build this momentum. And when you stop, how do you just get right back into that peak of where you left off?
It's like snowboarding,
right?
It's like you develop a muscle memory, and then. I would say the first couple shooting blocks, you know, there's a little bit of a hurdle. Like, we're still kind of developing that. And then we would take a block, and then we'd be like, oh, dang, we hadn't quite kind of completed that loop. But then once we kind of got into the groove, I'd say, like, a couple months in, it was kind of just, like, smooth sailing. You'd take a week off, whenever, like, you know, a Christmas break, and then all of a sudden you come back in, and everyone would just be, like, ready to go. It'd be, like, literally a dance party in the hair and makeup chairs, like...
That's when I would leave.
Like, I don't want any part of this.
I don't dance. Jax doesn't dance.
I dance.
They would ask me.
I like you. So, and for your character as well, too, was it a challenge at all, just kind of making that transition or just being with all these, like, so many men, and you're just like, I want to tap into my female instincts as an actress?
Oh, I had Victoria there, and she was... Heaven sent. She's an amazing actress. I wish she was here. And she, thank goodness, because I don't know what I would have done. Yeah, that would have been crazy if it was just me and all those guys. But, you know, we have really strong, strong female characters. I'm really proud of the characters that Victoria and I play. They hold their own. They're fighters. They are tough, tough women. And so, yeah, I think it was great. It was good.
And do any of your characters kind of turn on each other a little bit throughout? Or do you kind of all just, you're always like, yeah, we're always together, and we're always never arguing?
There's a pretty big split. So, like, you asked earlier what if we saw each other a lot on set. We would, as people, see each other in passing. But, like Jack and I, and then Jake Stormone, who's not here, who plays Duncan, the three of us kind of I don't want to give it away, but we're skin writers is what we're called. So we're human beings.
I bet you are, bud. Hey, I read that and I was like, I got to heckle Matt about this. I'm going to heckle Matt about this.
Heckle Aaron.
Nobody else, but I'll heckle Matt about this.
Fair enough. So what that is that's it's slang essentially for a human that's been taken over by an alien parasite. So the three of us play... play humans, but I'm not me. I'm taken over by an alien, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like my human body. Same with Jake, and so we exist in this world where we're very separate from the Reborns. My character. I want to speak for anyone else's character, but my character hates humans. A deep resentment for everything that they are. And
so it's like Dimitri when he's not caffeinated.
That's right. Yeah.
I hate humans.
Where's my Starbucks
coffee?
So that conflict it's a big part of the story. Is these guys are coming, they've come back to life, and then when they get there, there's conflict because not everybody that's in this world is there to support what they want to be doing.
Right.
My mission and Jake's mission are to assimilate or destroy everyone. So either we want you to be one of us, or we want to kill you off.
And are you like interacting with the aliens at all, or is it just like this silent character?
Yeah. How does the parasite get you? Like, how does it infiltrate your mind?
So slaps you silly.
We'll have to watch the show to figure that part out.
Yeah,
they won't give it away. We got secrets.
Suspense. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vaccines.
I will go back to one of the questions that you asked, as far as like us getting along or not. That you do find out, like even among the different groups, right? So you've got skin riders, you've got reborns. You'll see that like different people, even in those groups, think very differently.
Right.
You know, so everyone that's brought back, I would say, has a strong personality. You know, so you've got some people that they really want to fight for A, and then someone else who's, you know, the most important thing for them is to fight for C. And normally, that tends to work together. But there will be times when they'll come to crossroads, and it's like, we got to choose, are we doing A or C? And you're going to have one character that's really going to want to go one direction, and another that wants to pull the group a different direction to fight for the thing that they really believe in this moment. And I think that's some of the beautiful stuff in the show, is that even the people who love each other, you know, really kind of have to deal with each other and frustrate each other, and maybe have moments where, you know, they might not even be talking to each other because they frustrated each other so much. And that's really hard when there's only like three human beings on Earth,
right,
to not be talking to one.
Right. That's interesting. So you had some like freedom to interpret some of the screen or the scenes, or was there just kind of like that was just the direction the characters were going in that everybody understood?
Well, I wouldn't say that like as actors, you know that the character wants to go in a certain direction, so you just kind of like hit that. I would say that like there was a lot of us acting and Aaron writing, reacting to what we were bringing to it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so over the course of this series, like I said, you know, these scripts weren't written until a few weeks before. He was able to watch our performances and tailor the characters to us over time.
That's amazing.
Which was cool.
Yeah. That's usually like, that's not how it usually works. You know, sometimes they don't do that. You know, it's like...
Smart writers do.
Yes, yes. Well, that's... It has to be...
Well, and it's a totally original story, so we have the advantage of...
It has to be adapted.
These are all new people. Right. It's a new world. No one's seen this before. I mean, you can draw parallels to science fiction that exists already and stuff, but it's a totally original story. It doesn't connect to the universe, so... All these characters are new, so we all came in with just the text available to us and our own interpretations of that. But once we got moving, it was a real synergy to how it all went. And in that regard, I think as you watch the 10 episodes, each episode is better than the previous because everything is just kind of escalating as we get to know each other better as performers and as everybody gets to be like clockwork by the time we're done with the finale. Everybody knew how to make this happen by the end, including the writing, including everybody on this amazing crew. So each one gets better than the next. So,
and did you shoot in order, like episode 1 to 2 to 3?
No, we shot it backwards.
Well, sometimes they do. Honestly, they do.
The
episode itself, no, we were like, shot out of order, but not the episodes in our case.
Yeah, we won 1 through 10.
That's crazy. Yeah. And what was the total number of people? What was the total number of shoot people like on set?
Oh. Like, well, we had a crew, I don't know.
Low 40s on the crew. And yeah, the cast was, I mean, we've got the main five here, with the exception of Victoria Atkin, who Jacqueline was referring to, or she plays a character named Fina, who in a past life was a hacker, you know, looking for redemption. So she's great. She's not here with us tonight, but we're the main six, more or less, and then some stronger players kind of keep coming in as we go. But it was tight. Like, it was a little tribe, and the crew was very small but very efficient.
Small
but mighty. And I think we had about 40, anywhere from 40 to 45 crew, you know, putting the show together with us.
Also, just to add to that a little bit, part of what made that actually a strength was that we were constantly moving throughout the state. And when you have a big crew, you know, and you're like shooting in LA, you're like carrying a ball and chain. But when you got a splinter crew, then you can go and you can go, like, you can just go set up and start shooting just like that. Like, it takes, I don't know, maybe like 30% less of the time. I'd start throwing out numbers, but like, it goes real quick. And also, you can literally move faster through sets. It's so funny. You can literally walk straight from the trailer to the set and back without having to stop and say hi to everyone on the way in, which is like also a barrier a lot of the time.
Right,
randomly. Yeah.
And how many locations did you say you shot in Utah?
Oh, man. Well, we used a...
What is it bad to do?
$1. We had like... We worked at a motion picture studio in Provo, Utah, and so we had one soundstage, one big soundstage there that had a bunch of standalone sets that were built specifically for the show in traditional TV film fashion. There's also a big backlot there, so there's a bunch of outdoor sets.
That's not the Sundance Institute, is it?
No, it's close by Sundance there in Provo, Utah, though. And then we were probably there for 30% of the total production, I bet, and the other 70% we were on location from Fillmore, Utah, Payson, Utah, St. George, Utah, Kanab, Utah. We were around Zion National Park. These amazing places.
That must be one of the most beautiful parts of the country.
Yeah, man. Like, Kanab is super cool because it's got a really rich film history. You know, as recent as John Carter from Mars being shot out of Kanab in Westworld, right? Like, it's still... There's a John Wayne Museum there because that's where they would set up their base camp for everything. So the environments that we were shooting in are rich in Utah film history, and we got to take advantage of all that. It's like it's an incredible place to shoot. Like, you can go from what feels like Mars... and to the African Sahara, to what feels like the top of Everest in a day.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
Let's play this trailer. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
You guys want to say anything about the trailer here? Or
which one are we playing?
Number two.
Cool.
Yeah?
Just listen.
Let's just listen and experience it.
Take a listen.
Where are we?
This is Earth, long after human extinction. We will help you restore the human race.
Why would they bring us back?
We are an endangered species. This is the key to changing that.
Mistakes, Ezra. But not everyone gets a chance to put them right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, thanks for the applause. Thank you.
Our studio audience loves it. Did you want to see them hiding behind you guys?
I only work with live audience.
That's incredible, and it sounds very dramatic, but also action-filled.
Yeah, looked amazing. Action-packed and character-driven, ironically. Yeah.
Which is always missing in these big blockbuster movies.
Exactly.
Often, yeah.
Did you have to do any, like, courses or classes for any of the special effects for the fight scenes or anything like that?
No, we had really great stunt coordinators in Kevin Jackson and Pete Epstein, who both have resumes that are pretty deep. Kevin was working back and forth between Guardians 2, for example, when he was coming to help us out. But everybody here is pretty adept at that kind of stuff. So we're really lucky to be able to to do most of the stunt work ourselves. There was, with some exceptions, there was some doubles that came in, but for the most part, everybody did their own violence, their own on camera violence.
Everybody's pretty violent themselves.
Yeah. We got a lot of a lot of tensions really came out.
Good, yeah. That makes it for good TV. Yeah,
and hopefully, we got some good stuff for you in there. I think there's some exciting moments for sure that are pretty cool and action packed. There's some good brawls in there. I tend to get angry a lot.
I think it builds on itself, like you said too. Like by the end, it's even more action and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah.
And have you all seen the pilot and every episode, or is it going to be an experience for you to watch it as well? And how do you feel about that too? I'm going to ask each of you. How do you feel about watching yourselves on this? Because some actors are like, oh, I don't want to watch myself, but. Being a musician, I'm like, I always want to hear myself.
And you sound good.
Thank you.
You do.
Thank you.
You do indeed. I don't know what everyone else is. I've only seen episode one and episode two. And I think that's everybody's situation, yeah?
All but me. I've only seen the first. Seen the first. I had to catch a plane.
We had a big premiere event in Salt Lake City last week. Was that last week? Yeah, it was. Like a week and a half ago, I guess. Yeah. Where we did the premiere for press and all that kind of stuff, red carpet and all the jets. So we saw the pilot, a completed version of it then. And then we had like a little party for the crew and stuff. Big shout out to the crew because they're just the tops. We watched episode two, and none of us had ever seen that before. But I haven't seen the rest, so like on
That's
Sunday,
kind of exciting to see it unfold like that.
And BYU TV is doing this cool thing where it's out there for broadcast. Like if you've got Comcast, Dish Network, DirecTV, you probably already have the channel. Just check BYU TV. But they're also doing a thing this time because they have their own streaming platform, just like Netflix or CISO or Go90 or some of these other platforms, where they're dropping the first 8 episodes Sunday night. So if you want to binge, you can binge. If you want to just watch it once a week, you can do that. It's going to air in order every Sunday night across
awesome.
The country. So you can do it's kind of a cross generational promotion, I think. Like, my generation, we're all going to want to binge it, but my parents are probably going to want to watch it once a week. So it's a really great way for everybody to get a chance to see it, and it's free. Just like PBS is public broadcasting, so just like Downton Abbey or some of those shows.
And what would you say, like, is the audience? Like, is it sci-fi, enthusiasts? Is it kids? Is it a little bit of both? I mean, will girlfriends and wives love this too? I'm just asking the honest questions. These are good questions.
Yeah, great questions.
Family-friendly sci-fi enthusiasts.
I hate the term family-friendly because when someone says family-friendly,
that softens it.
I'm just like, it sounds freaking boring. And our show is not boring. Family-friendly.
Star Wars is like that, though, and that's one of my favorites.
Right, but do you say family-friendly for Star Wars?
Yeah, totally.
Really? I mean, it just happens to be family-friendly. And everyone can watch the show. What's cool about it is that it's probably going to be TVPG if you were to put a rating on it, which means that it doesn't restrict anybody. What they're trying to do is, and I think successfully with this, with the good writing and the performances and the action, is they're trying to appeal to everybody. So that, like, yeah, you can sit down with your mom and watch the show and not be like, well, that was awkward. I've experienced that. That's not going to happen, but you're still hopefully, and I really do think, all going to be entertained. So it's, and there's something deep in there for sci-fi fans. People that are really into sci-fi are going to be, I think, deeply satisfied because there's some smart science fiction in the world of the story.
I think that, like I mentioned before, me and Victoria Adkins, who plays this Fina character, we were able to go up to Salt Lake Comic Con this past weekend and just try to support and promote the show and mix it up with some fans. And just, it was a really great feedback loop because I got the chance to really, talk to them and get their preferences and get their tastes. And it was really, really nice, because I hadn't thought so consciously before about how many different touches our show has.
Right.
If you look at our costumes, you think like, wow, Mad Max, Game of Thrones.
That's what I was telling. I was telling Dimitri on the way here. I'm like, it's kind of like, it looks like Mad Max.
It's post-apocalyptic. At the same time, it's medieval and it's a throwback because we are 400 years in the future.
Right.
We're trying to make use of whatever's left over. I mean, we do the whole series is spears and staffs and bows and arrows and just kind of going back to basics in that way, just stringing together animal leathers for.
And the premise is a little bit like Aliens meets Terminator, with like a post-apocalyptic twist, I guess.
I think it touches on so many, and that's what I was able to do. Just talk to a fan, like, well, what sci-fi are you into? And then they're like, well, I love you know, The Walking Dead. I'm like, we've got a survivor feel. We're on the run from the skin riders, and we're trying to survive in this crazy place.
I'm going to chase you down. Chad Michael Collins.
Well, like York said, we get at each other's throats. We're our own little tribe. We're the burden of repopulating human civilization is on us, yet we're not always going to see eye to eye on stuff. So there's always that sort of stuff. The 100 has a survivor kind of feel to it. But then, you know, we've got the great, you know, sci-fi and special effects. We've got the alien technology that comes into play and this and that and whatever. And, you know, like I was saying, the flashback sort of elements of Lost. So it was really nice to be able to talk to fans, gauge, you know, take their temperature for what they really enjoy. And then just discovering that, and I don't think Aaron did it on purpose, but Aaron Johnston created, and Orson Scott Card co-created this universe where it's a beautiful mishmash of so many things that have come before, yet it's totally unique and standalone.
That's awesome.
So we just played that trailer earlier from YouTube, and if you just search Extinct Official Trailer, you'll find a couple of trailers there. And the CGI looked amazing. And how was that? I mean, I always find this so fascinating. Is like, you don't have the CGI done there, obviously. It's done afterwards. And how is it to act with nothing, at nothing? How do you guys think? There was this one clip, Chad, you were running from a spaceship. What was that like? I mean, does the director talk to you during that scene? What goes on?
That spaceship was real.
Utah's amazing.
I knew it.
Nothing else is real.
The spaceship was amazing.
No, I think it's always a creative challenge, but I think as an actor, and maybe everyone can agree with me, that it's almost expected this day. If you're going to step into a fantasy or a comic book or a sci-fi universe, you're going to have to look at that branch and pretend it's who knows what. You know, and that's kind of the deal on this day of green screening and VFX and, you know, post-production and stuff like that. So we had plenty of that. Mm-hmm. We had some practical stuff, too. A lot of these guys had a lot of experiences with having to work with our floating drones and stuff like this. So
York
in particular spends a lot of time with an inanimate object and you know, a VFX object. He becomes pals with some of the alien technology.
Any method actors? Like, did anybody stay in character the whole time, or was it just kind of like
the drone did?
Well played, Matt. Well played.
Tell some drone stories, York. I know you got some.
Yeah. Well, drone stories. Oh, man. I'm sure I do have some drone stories. I will say it is an adventure when you have an inanimate object or something that is like nothing like the thing that you're really supposed to be dealing with. And particularly if it does something that is supposed to get an emotional response from you. So basically, you just have to make up whatever it did that caused you to be like, how dare you? And it's like, it didn't do anything, but you have to get angry and want to like yell at it and stomp out of a room. Like, it is a challenge for an actor because usually we do get partners to play off of. You know, it's much easier when I get to talk to Chad and he yells at me. It's easy to get pissed.
Right.
But when it's literally just me yelling and then pretending
there's no dialogue,
like something is yelling back at me and really responding in it for it to be real, it's like you have to create the whole thing all on your own. And that is actually one of the, I would say, beautiful challenges of this show. Is really, I think, like, as an actor, it challenges you and like just pushes you to be better.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, response. Yeah. Well responded, I should say. Nice. York, I hope you don't die first, man. I'm pulling for you, man.
You can't kill the black guy first.
I like it. So where can people find this, like, online? Where are all the Twitter handles for people to interact with all of you?
Who wants to take it?
I'll start. Okay, so Twitter handle. Or wait, for the show?
Excellent start.
Okay,
your personal one, the show.
You know what? You set it up great. You were there.
Thank you for jumping in, Jacqueline. That was beautifully said. Number. Yes.
You had it. We'll give you a second chance. Yeah. We'll reshoot this right now.
Let's do an Instagram. What Instagram would you recommend them go to?
Okay, Jacqueline Hales. Wait, is that what we're doing?
No. I'm going to strike two.
Matt, you pull up Twitter, because I think it's two different handles.
All right, so the show is called Extinct.
Spell it, because people are
E-X-T-I-N-C-T. You can go to extinct.tv in your web browser, and that's a great place to find a connection to any possible way how to view the show. Connect with Facebook, connect with us.
On Instagram, it's at extinct.tv. So that's how you can find us on Instagram.
I know Twitter is at extinct.tv show.
And then use the hashtag extinct.tv on any of those things, and you'll be able to find familiar posts. Once again, it airs on BYU TV, so you may already have that. If you don't, you can download the BYU TV app for Roku, Amazon Fire, PlayStation, Xbox, Apple TV, whatever you've got, you can download the app, and it's free. And the show page is up, and there'll be 8 episodes there, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, Sunday.
Wait, Mountain Time? No,
Mountain Time.
Me
so it's 6 p.m. here.
Confusing thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Said all night.
Mountain Time.
Yeah, 6 p.m. here. Nine. Was that make it 9 on the
9 East Coast? Coast. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you can find it there. And then they have a YouTube channel and everything that all the trailers and stuff are on. But I think the website's the easiest place to go. Extinct.tv will connect you to all the things. The news, their Instagram account, the Twitter account. And you can find us all on there, too, and follow us, and we'll shout back to you.
And not to give anything away, but you did 10 episodes.
We did.
Will there be a season 2 or another 10 episodes? Is that something that's in the works?
We hope so.
All right.
If you watch
the show and you want more, that's the best way to get more. So watch it. There's a lot of fun stuff there. I think you'll be satisfied.
That's going to be exciting for you all, like as an ensemble, to see. You're going to watch it grow. You're going to watch this whole thing take flight.
We really hope so. Yeah, a lot of people worked really hard, and I think people are proud and should be proud of what they did. Aaron, the writer, Ryan, our showrunner and director, Scott Swafford, another director, the cast, the crew, the network, the people in marketing, everybody worked hard on this sucker. So watch it, and we want to entertain you and inspire you and bring some joy and excitement into your life. And
let me just add, I think like a lot of times you work with the crew and everyone's kind of just going through their thing. They're just going through the day, and at the end they clock out and they're done. And I think I know we've got something special here, because like halfway through the crew started trying to figure out how it was going to end, and like you see the buzz throughout the day, like, oh, so and so is on the call sheet today, what's that, da 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 da, like trying to figure
That's
out
awesome.
Exactly how it's
people are
go.
Excited to get the new scripts, because they're like, yeah, what's going to happen to that guy?
Yeah,
like we were excited too
in the story. Yeah. Not just as, you know, actors and like business people, but as like fans, which is cool.
If I can add to that, I work with a manager here, and he has been involved in like Scott Bakula's career, his entire career. And so when
Quantum
I got
Leap, this, dude, that's one of my favorite shows.
Exactly. That was
so
a good show.
Not only did, you know, he go through, you know, no Emmy nominated every year, Quantum Leap, you know.
Wow.
In fact, it did like 4 years, and the network canceled it, and the fans revolted in an old school writing campaign and brought it back for a fifth. I think that's
awesome.
What happened there. But
yeah,
but he, you know, that was a revolutionary show, and he read every single one of those scripts for Scott's career. And then Scott went and did a Star Trek, it was called Enterprise.
Yep,
you know,
I remember
for
that.
UPN.
It was on KCLP.
So he read every one of those scripts. And he basically said, when he read our Extinct scripts, every time he got them, he's like, I have not enjoyed scripts like this since reading Quantum Leap back
that's
in the day.
That's awesome.
So just
cool,
like, just
that's
for
exciting.
A guy
boom.
Who's been exposed to
yeah,
so
that's
much.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Dimitri, you look excited, man.
Watch the show.
I'm going to watch that.
He's
I'm
already looking
sure
on his phone.
It,
yeah. How can I get this on my phone?
How do I get this in Canada? I got to, like.
That's right.
Hopefully.
Well, you can get it in Canada,
sure,
right?
You can find a way.
Yeah, I'll find a way. I'll go on my boat and, you know, to the U.S. side and
that's
then I'll
right.
just watch it on my
there
boat.
There you go.
Just steal it.
If you want to view it online and not on an app or on broadcast, you can go to byutv.org/extinct and you can just view it in your web browser.
See, that's the information. That's the golden ticket right there.
Boom. And if you're like smart with the web browsing, you could probably find a way to do that not here.
Right.
And
did you say,
you
did I
so.
Hear you correctly that there were two directors?
Yeah, so.
Like, did they do different episodes?
They did.
Say, oh, wow, that's cool.
Like we mentioned, they made that really rapid turnaround, 8 episodes, 55 minutes, it's pages. How many pages is that?
It's a lot.
It's a lot of pages. Mm-hmm. And so to put that much pressure on one director is. It's cruel and unusual punishment. So, Scott Swafford, who has a long film and television career as well, directed some of the episodes along with Ryan Little, who's comes deeply from the independent film world. So it's a really cool fusion of talent in that, you know, like Jack mentioned, we have this sort of smaller crew and we're just bouncing all over the. Going in caves, literally in caves,
literally.
And shooting and stuff.
That's awesome.
You want an independent filmmaker doing that because they know how to get in there.
Just had this conversation with a friend today where I was just like reevaluating now that we're kind of 6 months removed and it's about to air. And I was just thinking, we had a lower budget, and a lot of our budget went to the VFX because we're talking aliens, we're talking all this sort of stuff. So you've got to have all the requisite VFX. I think, what did they say? The pilot had 300 VFX shots alone.
Wow.
So it's really heavy with that stuff. So, you know, that's less money for us to get to play with day to day. You could not have, like Matt said, you could not, if you did not have an incredibly experienced production team that was just a master of
getting
very little money,
yeah,
and making it look 10 times more, we could not have done the show. And Ryan Little was incredible. Adam Abel, his producing partner. These guys, I mean, Ryan was a one-man show. He was a director, showrunner, and the DP. Like, he was a director of photography
for
every episode that he did. Wow. So it was a real testament to people all coming together, rolling up the sleeves, and really, you know, having at it every single day to get this done. And so I think the show reflects that kind of quality.
I got a great question. I've got chills already because I'm so excited to ask you guys. To sum it all up, in one word, describe the TV show, the series, each of you. Yeah.
Let's start with Jacqueline.
Oh. Either your experience.
Jacqueline Hales on Instagram.
Add what? No.
Jacqueline Hales. No, I don't start with me.
Who wants to go first? That does
intrigue.
Not count for a word. What's that again?
I'd say intrigue.
Intrigue. All
yeah.
right. Good.
Oh, this is like a weird party game.
See, I
like
got you stumped.
Game.
That's how good of a question it was. I love it.
One word. We're used to phrases.
Yes.
We can handle a phrase. But
like brevity. You're like, we don't know brevity. I'm sorry.
Brevity.
One word. How would you sum this up? This experience, the show, what was it for you?
Unpredictable.
Oh, I love it. That's great word.
Hope.
Nice.
I'll go with redemption.
Oh, man. My word.
I was going to say there, redemptive.
You got to get in there, man.
You know, it's what I'm picking up the rear over here.
What are you, Dr. Seuss?
Like a skin writer should.
Man.
I got to tell you, nothing better than picking up a script and being like, four skin writers come around the corner. We're like, he picked four. I love Aaron.
That's awesome.
Not safe for work, this podcast.
Matt, we're still waiting on your word, man.
Well, exciting. I was going to go
good.
With redemptive.
That's good. That's
exciting.
No.
Adventurous.
Hey, don't tell your word. Exciting is great. That's
Indiana
great
Jones-esque.
All right, I like it. That's kind of two words, but. Well, it was a pleasure having you guys. I hope this takes off. And
thanks.
You guys were a dynamic cast, and we're excited for the show. So.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I'll definitely watch.
Extinct.tv, yeah. BYUTV.org/extinct. Sunday, October 1st, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Free. Download the app. Watch all first of the 8 episodes. You got to hang tight for the last two is a group season finale on November 19th.
All right.
Well
that was
done,
a
man.
Good little plug right
wow.
there.
Yeah, wow.
I'm impressed.
Me,
and Jacqueline Hale's phone number. Yes.
Well, on behalf of Dimitri, myself, and the cast of Extinct, we'll see you guys next week.